just asked whether I could come and be seated down here, because that was just amazing. I'm not sure I've been, you know, just the environment where I felt the worship was just surrounding me. I just loved it when the harmonies were coming and the instruments were coming from behind me as I'm worshiping here. I don't know whether you found it, but I enjoyed that and really was touched by it. So thank you for leading us in that, worship team, and everyone who's made it possible for us to be here. So that's why I thought, I don't want to sit up there. This is more family feel. This is more friendly. So I just want to be down here with everybody. Hallelujah. Maybe I should do that. Maybe I should just go and preach at the back. Go into a dark corner and just preach. You're just going to hear me but not see me.
Repent.
Hallelujah. So I'm really, really thankful for this opportunity just to share with you regarding Christmas, what it means. As I was looking towards this and thinking towards it, praying about it, I thought, if I was going to somewhere and someone was sharing something, what would I want? What would I want them not to do? And what would I want them to do? You know, try and think a little bit. What don't I want? You know, I don't want to go somewhere and hear someone who's angry. You know, just, you know, ever been to somewhere where you're like, settle down. Who are you upset with? And I don't want to go somewhere where they use language that I don't understand. I can't follow. They use phrases and thoughts that I don't know what he's talking about. So I thought, you know, I'm not going to be angry. And I'm not going to speak and use words that you might not be familiar with as much as I can. You know, sometimes I'll use a phrase. I might not even realize it's a bit of something that's just been trained in me from the Bible. But I'll do my best just to speak plain. I thought, I don't want them to speak long. I thought, oh, that's rubbish. They want me to speak really long. No, I thought, hey, there's nothing wrong with speaking long. In fact, I think, you know, we've sort of got a bit soft in our culture. Everything's got to be so short. But the difficulty is you can't do anything in particular depth, or, you know, everything's got to be in sound bites and so summarized you can't get to any foundation. So I'm not against long. I actually think there's a place for it. And I enjoy sharing and also hearing messages that take time to build and to me understanding, but I didn't think tonight was the time for long. All right, so for all of you who thought, what was he, what's he getting to here? Now I think something short, so 10, 15 minutes, you know, an hour and 10, 15 minutes, 10 or 15. I don't want something political. That might disappoint some of you, and again, I think there's a place for that. I think the concept that the church and the world should be kept separate is the craziest thought ever. If there's anybody I want to hear the thoughts of the issues of the day, I want to go to the church to hear those issues. You know, it's that we need the church. But tonight, it's not the time to be political, so that's all right. So I can do that another time. I don't want the speaker to be something that they're not. I don't want them to make some sort of transformation from the seat to the front. And suddenly, you know, be something, you know, try and be somebody or something, you know, try and be hipster pastor, you know, put my hair in a ponytail and speak street talk, you know. And I don't even know what illustration, you know, dog, you know, I wouldn't even know what, I don't know, you know, I would look foolish and I would be foolish if I just tried to get up here and tried to impress you by being something I'm. And I think what I would want is I want the person up the front to be themselves, but I'd also want them to play to their strengths. Don't try and be something you're not. So I'm not going to get up here and try and be pretend I've got a psychology major and speak and stuff, because I don't. That's not my strength, and I'd be a bit crazy to do it. But my strength is, this is, you know, it's a God-given thing in me to. I find that the Bible comes alive to me and I see the world through the lens of the Bible and it makes sense. And I can help people to make sense of their world through the lens of the Bible. And so Why would I come to this moment and put that aside and try and do something different? So I will do my best to be me and to play to my strength. Then I came to one which I thought, there's a division here. Because I think up till now, everyone's probably pretty happy with me, except for the people who want me to get on my soapbox and do a little political thing for 10, 15 minutes. I'm sorry. And for the many of you who'd want me to do a long message, I'm disappointing you. But I think overall, everybody's probably in agreement. But then I realised, you know, at a time like this, when you're doing something that's Christmassy, and, you know, we've got people watching online, we've got people that have joined us, you know, family, friends as well. There's another, what's the expectation at this time? And one expectation could be, and this is where it could go two ways. One way is, hey, let's just keep this nice and friendly and sort of, you know, fluffy and, you know, let's do unicorns and dancing fairies type, you know. Let's make everybody happy, you know, let's just preach a few Christmas memes and then we all go home. And yeah, there's a place for being nice and just being not too deep, you know, not into that. But I also realize that on the other side of that, there's a point where people say, you know what, if I want a Christmas meme, I can Google it. Do you know what I mean? I can get fluff from in bucket loads from the world, because they give me all sorts of stuff and it's just nonsensical at times, you know, the simplicity. But, you know, Christmas is in your heart. How many cook from your heart. Cook from your heart, you know. As anyone, what does that mean? You know, be passionate about your cooking. I just don't want it to be burnt. I want it to taste nice, but I can do that without weeping in the kitchen, can't I? You know. So sometimes, you know, and I thought, you know what? At this time, if this is your strength and this is who you are, I don't think I'd want something which was fluffy and meaningless. I'd want you to speak to me out of your strength, and I'd want you to give me that which is going to be most helpful to me. And, you know, I think that's one thing that I've tended to sort of see, maybe not gone, but it's been pushed away in what we used to call as the Australian society. One thing we were sort of famous for is, tell us like it is. You know, give us our medicine straight. The Australian people were known for, like, we can take it. Don't fluff around. Just tell us, you know. What are you trying to say? You know, don't put it all in fancy words. Just tell us. That was the Australian. Now I'm not so sure Australians like it straight. You know, we tend to get angry if people start to straight. So I'm pulling on the old Aussie attitude that people would want it straight. They don't want me to fluff around and try and not hurt their feelings. They just want me to tell them the truth. And you can sort out in your own life whether it upsets you. Do you know what I mean? You're big enough. You're grown up, so you can, you know what I mean? You can say, just tell me and I can process it. You don't have to treat me like a baby that can't handle difficult thoughts. So I thought, okay, I can. I'm leaning that way. I'm thinking, this is what people would like. Something, so not angry, using language you can understand, not long, to the point, nice, short and sharp. Not political, just about life. Be who you are, play to your strength. And don't just give me a Christmas meme. In case you wanted a Christmas meme, I actually Googled feel-good Christmas memes. Because this is what you could have got. Things like, and these are nice things, you know, like these are, make it, bring a tear to your eye type thing. It's not what's under the Christmas tree that matters. It's who is around it. Oh, that's nice. That's good. That is good. Christmas is not as much about opening our presents as opening our hearts. That's pretty good. That's Hallmark there. He who has not Christmas in his heart will never find it under a tree. Never worry about the size of your Christmas tree. And the eyes of children, they're all 30 feet tall. That guy had kids? Dad, can we get that tree? It's like 80 feet tall. I think it'll fit great in the lounge room. No, we're getting this one. That's too small. They know big and small. What is this? Order that. Lessons from a Christmas tree. Be a light in the darkness. We all fall over sometimes. Well, that's because you haven't got the proper support base around it. Maybe I need to screw something into your legs so you don't wobble as much. You can never wear too much glitter. This is what you learn from a Christmas tree. You can never wear too much glitter. Bring joy to others. Wait, what? That's what a Christmas tree does. And if it's a live Christmas tree that you chop off, it gradually dies in your living room. Kids, just be moved by this thing turning brown before you. Sparkle and twinkle as often as possible. And it's okay to be a little tilted. No, it's not. Everyone's like, what is that? Straighten up, will you? You're making me feel, you know. One of the things I hate is, you know, when I watch a video afterwards from preaching and I'm just, you know, putting it on the line or something like that, and my collar's up like that, I'm like, I feel like telling myself, straighten it up. So, no, we don't like being tilted. Anyway, that's what you could have learnt if we just fluffed. But I actually said, Lord, what is... If I had 10 to 15 minutes to share with you something that was out of my strength and who I am, what would I want to tell you? And to be honest, the first thing I want to tell you is about Jesus. Do you know what I mean? Not because it's Christmas, but because Christmas gives me the opportunity to talk about Jesus like I do every other day of the year. But maybe I can talk to more people about Jesus on Christmas because we celebrate and remember a time of Christmas. You know, I saw, you know, when you go searching in memes, it's a dark hole. You know what I'm saying? And it's like people are saying, you know, you can't say Merry Christmas, you've got to say Happy Holiday. And then someone points out, you don't realize the word holiday has come from holy day. So, you know, I'd like to tell you, Happy Holy Day. Yeah, if we want to get rid of Merry Christmas, fine, but let's talk about Happy Holy Day. It's a holy day when Jesus came. Well, I'll take that. I'd want to tell you about Jesus because Christmas, really, that's the essence. I appreciate all the fun, family, giving, coming together, all the other things we do, but we couldn't actually enjoy and celebrate those things like we do if it wasn't for Jesus. And that's not just because we've got to, you know, I tell you, if I could, you know, I just put dot points, things I would tell you from my heart. I would tell you that he really did come to earth, probably not on the 25th of December. But, you know, he did come one day of a year in real life, and we celebrate on the 25th of December that coming. I don't care that he didn't come on that day. This is the day we remember. I would take the Queen's birthday holiday every year on a Monday, regardless of when her birthday was. And I enjoy Christmas regardless of when Jesus was born, because I remember he was born. But it's true, he did come to earth. And you know, when he came to earth, it was just not something out of the blue, but it was something that had been prophesied and talked about and spoken by prophets. I found a site called newtestamentchristians.com which lists 351 Old Testament prophecies that were fulfilled in the life of Jesus. Go there, find New Christians, newtestamentchristians.com. I also found another site called jewsforjesus.org. That's pretty cool. I don't endorse these programs. I just only saw these one web page. Jews for Jesus. They went into detail, 40 specific prophetic words and things spoken about Jesus way before he came and how they were fulfilled. So they have the Old Testament scriptures, the New Testament scriptures, and they just go scripture and prophecy after prophecy. 40 in big detail. You know, Jesus just didn't turn up on the earth. He came with God talking about the time when he would come, when he was born, it was momentous. There was a lot pointed into this time. He was not just a man who happened to be. He was, no, the Son of God has come to the earth with a purpose and a plan. And he was spoken of and declared and planned for. But Jesus, when he came, he said he was God. That the Son of God has come. And that immediately makes a huge problem. Because, you know, he can no longer be a good man that did some nice teaching. He becomes a lunatic or God. Because, you know, when, if you start saying, you know, I actually had someone come to our youth group many years ago and say he was Jesus back on earth. I did not say, oh, you've got probably some nice teaching there. No, man needs help. Anybody who says they are God is weird. Jesus said he was God. So he can no longer fall into the category nice man with nice teachings. He's either God or crazy. Thankfully, I believe him. But don't ever think you can put him in the category of just a nice man with some nice teachings. People who said that probably haven't studied his teachings anyway. Because he said some pretty confronting stuff. He did miracles. He came to this earth and he made a difference. And he changed lives and he broke things. Fixed things that were broken. Set people free that were bound. He said that if we would believe him and follow him, he would give us eternal life. That's a big call. It's a big call to make. He just didn't say, I'm God. He said, I'm God, and if you believe in me, and if you will follow me, I'll give you eternal life. John 3:16, one of the most well-known quoted scriptures in the Bible, says, if God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, only unique begotten Son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him won't perish, but they'll have everlasting life. If we become a follower of him, believe in him, trust in him, he'll do something in us and we'll have not live for eternity. He didn't actually promise that because we all live for eternity. Living for eternity is just something because we're eternal beings. Our physical bodies will pass away, but our spiritual man is designed to live for eternity. That was not the promise. The promise is where will your spiritual man exist? In life is the promise. My spiritual man will be in life. For eternity. That was the promise. That's powerful. In order to do that, he had to can't just make wild promises, but he had to pay for everything he said. You know, if I came to you today and said, buy whatever you want, go to the shops tomorrow and spend and buy whatever you want, that's big. But you know what? That's useless if that's as far as my activity goes and you just go and buy and then you've got the... They say, well, where's the money? So when Jesus made promises and he said, I'll forgive you and forgive your sin, but then he said, I'll actually pay for your sin and do what is necessary. So he actually went and died on the cross for me so that when he says, I can forgive you, it's from a position of authority that he has paid for. Paid for my forgiveness. That is awesome. He has given me the promise of forgiveness, but then went to the cross to die on my behalf. And then I can know with certainty that was paid for by an innocent man who took my sin upon himself and was sinless because he was raised from the dead and overcame death and hell through that act. He was proven to be the only innocent person died because God raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. So he overcame and he's alive. That makes a difference to me. I am not worshipping a 2,000-year-old event. I'm celebrating the moment he came to the earth, but not the moment that I engaged with him. That's today. That's in real time. I want to say he changed my life. this message is because of not a mental exercise that I've agreed with. It's because by doing what it said, I have found it has worked in me, changed me, transformed me, made me a different person. I'm still on a journey in that. I'm not saying I'm perfect. Some might believe I have already reached that stage, but they are few and far between. Because the reality is, I'm on a journey, but I can tell you this, he has changed me. And he's caused me to do things and be things that I could never be by myself. And I enjoy a freedom. When we had that worship here just before, and I was just lost in God's presence, enjoying his goodness and love, and just being his child. I don't take that for granted. That's an awesome feeling. I can remember back to years ago when I was a teenager and I struggled with my sin and I struggled with who I was, because as I discovered what God wanted me to be, I discovered the limitation of myself to be that. And then I became aware, acutely aware, that I could not by myself fix myself. And I was a broken person feeling the judgment of being broken. And I can still remember the time I surrendered my life to Jesus. And I was laying in bed at night, forgiven. And it's the most awesome feeling ever. No need to do or be or prove, or just forgiven, just accepted, loved, sins dealt with. Because now I just belong to Jesus. I wasn't holding back on him in any way. I tried to do it, you know, me and God together, you know. He does a little bit and I do a bit. Just doesn't work. I had to surrender and let him take the reins. When I did that, stopped trying to protect my own desires and flesh, and I suddenly had this amazing freedom. That's many years ago, but I've never lost the gratefulness that I can lay in my bed and still be in that same state. It's not something you want to take for granted, being forgiven. And one last thing is the instruction he gave all his disciples, but he particularly came real to me. He said, "Freely you have received, freely give." My life is to be a reflection of helping others receive the same freedom I've received. It would be the worst thing ever just to go through this life and get to God and say, "That was so amazing. You were so good to me." And he's like, "It was all free. Why didn't you pass it on?" So that's what I would like my last moments of sharing with you to reflect. I would hate to ever say, "Oh, it's so good, you can just sort yourselves out." No, what we have entered into as a family, as a people of God, the church, is we are committed to helping everybody get on this same journey as we are. Because it's a struggle at times, and there's we do have an enemy that fights, and we have a flesh that doesn't want to give up control. But we make this. You know, I had a funny thought that I'll finish this on. I think Brooke was maybe sharing a story she heard. A friend of ours who's a pastor, preacher, and he called someone who was very sick. You know, like, I don't know whether they're in a wheelchair or something like that. And he said, basically, "Come up and God's going to heal you." And it was like, and this is not someone who says those things lightly. They have seen people healed. And if they said it, it was going to happen. The guy came up, but before they prayed, they said, "But I just want to share something." They said, "I'm just telling you, I feel in God to tell you something. When you're healed, you're no longer going to be able to claim your pensions, disability pensions. You're going to get healed, but you're going to have to go off your disability pensions because you're not going to be disabled anymore." And they turned around and went back. They said, "Oh, I don't want to. I'm comfortable in my disability because it gives me, you know, certain. It takes away responsibilities from me." And I just felt to share something maybe you need to be willing to give up some of the things that you're using to hold God away from. Because they're protecting you. You know, some people use this statement, I could never go to church, it's full of hypocrites. And they use that phrase to protect them from having to actually deal with God. As if that gives them a reason. You know what? If you surrender that thought, you can't use it anymore. You've actually got to deal with God. You know, when people tell me I couldn't go to church, it's full of hypocrites, I go, it's not full. there's room for you. Come on. As if it were full. Because, you know, that's what the church is. We're full of broken people getting healed and broken people that are, we were broken, but we've been made whole. Yeah, if you say, I don't want to go to church, that's where, you know, they did me wrong. Well, okay, it can happen. And I'm not, and some people can be actually very wrong. But I'm just saying you have to, if you give that up, that hurt that's holding you, hiding, it's like giving up your pension. He will make you whole, but you've got to give up everything to get it. And I'm telling you that this freedom I've got cost me everything. It cost me everything. And I'm not just meaning most things, I mean everything. It meant he had freedom to get into the deepest, darkest recesses of my life and call me out and change anything he wanted. But that was the most cleansing thought, because you know what? I no longer was trying to hide parts of my life from him, carry myself. I was like, it's yours. There's a room down the back. Fine. Anything's yours. Just go get it, Jesus. Most liberating place to be, because when he takes over, then he takes over and you'll fix up all those broken bits. So, but I just warn you in that, some of you might be hiding behind some offense or some reason or some thought process. I'm telling you, you've got to give it all up. But the most liberating thing, I didn't put this on my list earlier, you know. What's one thing I would want from someone doing this speech like this? Well, I'd want that if they did something like this and shared from their heart and gave me something like this, to not just leave me hanging and then walk off, enjoy their Christmas, and I'm sitting there. What do I do? So I also want to give you an opportunity to do something. All right? So I have actually prepared some packs. And in here, there's a few things. I even give you a bottle of water. So that's because it fills it out, makes it feel better. But in here is gold. A little bit of part of the Bible, Book of Mark. It's the life of Jesus, according to one of his followers called Mark. The shortest of the four accounts. It's sharp, it's punchy. Just get straight into it. It's really good. Why don't you explore Jesus for yourself this Christmas? Don't take my word for it. Just read. And then got this little book of Why Jesus. It's just a really, really well done, easy to understand little booklet on how to make sense of all this. And then we've got this little scroll. Sounds like, you know, like a treasure map. There's some instructions on there, some steps you can take. Simple, easy. We've made it as easy as possible. As simple. Well, sorry, I take that back. We made it simple but not easy. You know the difference between simple and easy? It's simple instruction is lift this very heavy weight. That's a simple instruction, but it's not necessarily easy. This is simple, but it might not be easy because it means you've got to give everything. So I am making these freely available. If nothing else, you get a bottle of water. But there's a whole lot more good stuff in there. And I challenge you, I won't be there over the next couple of weeks, maybe in your Christmas preparations and post-Christmas celebrations or whatever you're doing. But I encourage you to take that and make it part of your journey. And you can explore and find the same freedom that I enjoy. So that I can look God in the eye and say, freely I received, freely I gave. Can we just sing a song and just take a moment just to worship God once more? Come, let us adore him, Christ my Lord. I want to give you the challenge. You've heard, but here's your opportunity to do something. And your first step is to recognize him as your Lord. So can we sing that? And you on purpose can make that declaration.
Oh, come let us
come, let's worship him.
Adore him. Oh, come let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ, my Lord. Oh, come, let us adore him. let's just go back. Let the voices sing out. Let the voices sing it one last time. Oh, come. Sing, oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ, my Lord.
Lord, we give you praise. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise. Our Lord, my Jesus, we give you praise. My Jesus, our Jesus, we give you praise. In this place, I want to encourage you, and I would love to speak to those who are online as well. I love seeing Rebecca, Ryan, so many people joining us online, and we want to say we would love, this absolutely extends to you as well, and even for those in the room, that if you'd like to come and grab a pack at any stage, or for those online, if you would like to know any more about what Pastor has shared, all you need to do is breakthrough.org.au, and there's a button there that just says I'm you. You click on that and it takes you to all this information about Jesus. It takes you all to next steps or get in contact with us. If you're online and would like to have one of these packs, we would love to be able to get one to you. So please contact us. There's a phone number on there that you can text us on as well, that we would love to be able to get this information to you. If you want to find out more, if you want to say, I just want to explore more, as Pastor said, I don't want to just take your word from it. I want to explore about Jesus myself. I want to put aside that which I've been standing, which has been in front of me. I want to put it aside and say, I just want to make that start. I want to make that step to learn about Jesus and to discover it for myself. We would love to invite you to do that as well.